sorry for hurting the United States. That's what the US soldier Bradley Manning had to say about handing state secrets over to WikiLeaks in this famous, or perhaps you might think infamous, trial that's now taking place. He was making that statement today, a rare statement, it should be said, during the sentencing phase of his court-martial. He'd already been convicted of various charges a couple of weeks ago. Raf Sanchez joins us now, Washington correspondent for The Daily Telegraph. He's been following Bradley Manning's trial closely. Raf, thank you very much for your time. Interesting, it seems like an about-face here. In February, he was talking about having a clear conscience. Now he's saying, I'm sorry my actions hurt people. I'm sorry it hurt the United States. Is this really just about mitigating the sentence?
So it was a very traumatic, and like you say, it was a very unexpected day in court. We'd been told Manning was going to speak only the third time in a court-martial that has been going on for a year and a half, that Manning has actually spoken at length in front of the court and in front of the judge. And like you say, it was interesting. When he got up, it was only 2.5 minutes long. He was nervous. He spoke very quickly, and he just did not say what we expected him to. He basically held up his hands. He said, in his own words, what the government has been saying for a while, which is that leaking these some 700,000 military and diplomatic files to WikiLeaks actually hurt the United States and hurt people. And I think what we're seeing is a defense team that is basically throwing everything they have at the judge as they try to make the case that their guy, who is 25 now, was 22 at the time that he did this leak in Iraq in 2010, does not deserve to go to jail for 90 years, you know, for potentially the rest of his life, which is the maximum sentence that he's facing, given the charges he's been convicted of. So it was unexpected, and I think, like you say, this is their way of just making every play for mitigation that they've got available to them.
And perfectly understandable, but what do you think the court's going to make of the fact that this statement is at odds with everything that was run during the trial?
So it's an interesting setup. Manning was tried by a military judge alone, not a jury, and that was actually his decision. And this judge, her name is Colonel Denise Lynn. She's a very experienced military judge. She's been a prosecutor in the past. She has his entire life in her hands, so she alone found him guilty of the charges that he was found guilty of, including espionage, which is a serious charge. But actually, she also found him not guilty of aiding the enemy, which was the most serious charge against him, which is a crime that, in theory, can carry the death penalty. And even if it doesn't bring that, it can lead to life imprisonment with no chance of parole. So she is an interesting and difficult character to predict. A lot of the time, Manning supporters leave the courtroom disgusted because they feel like the entire system is slated against their guy, and Colonel Lind constantly rules against them, shoots down their motions at every turn. But at other times, she actually, you know, as in the case of aiding the enemy, she seems sort of receptive to what they're saying. So it's hard to know. She's a tough, experienced operator. Whether she is going to accept this very, very late in the day seeming acceptance of guilt, you know, is very hard to predict.
You say an interesting character. Speaking of interesting characters, there's Bradley Manning, of course. More than interesting, deeply intriguing. There's so much the opposite of the stereotypical soldier in his stature, in his psychological profile as well. And I imagine the psychological elements would have been a very significant part, or at least will be, of the defense's attempt to mitigate the sentence.
That's right. Even when you just look at him in court, he's in this courtroom surrounded by heavily armed military guards next to other soldiers who look the part. They're big, broad, you know, American war fighters who have now moved into the military justice system. And Manning himself is 5'2". He looks like he probably weighs about 110 pounds. He has thick glasses. He just does not look the soldier. And throughout the hearings, but especially today, we've been hearing a lot about his kind of inner psychological turmoil. He was diagnosed with what they call a gender identity disorder. Manning basically feels that he should have been born a woman, and he developed this female alter ego for himself called Brianna. And we've heard shadow references to Brianna at various points. When Manning was in Iraq in 2010, he basically issued a call for help to his superiors, and he sent them a long, anguished email describing what he was going through. And attached to that email was a photograph of himself dressed up as Brianna. A clinical psychologist who met with Manning while he was in Iraq, delivered what I think is probably the understatement of the trial, which is he said that having a gender identity disorder and being in the United States military doesn't always go hand in hand.
Yeah, well, that stands to reason. I think everyone can intuit that much. But precisely what is the argument then being put forward on the basis of his psychological state as far as it relates to the reduction of his sentence?
They're kind of throwing everything they have available, kind of like in any criminal trial you might see in the civilian system, is establishing that the defendant who's facing prison time is actually someone who was wrestling, very seriously with their own issues. So as well as the gender identity stuff, as well as the fact that Manning was gay at a time when it was actually illegal within the United States military to be gay, as well as that, Manning came from a very, very troubled family, from a very troubled background. Both his parents, we heard from his sister today, who took the stand in what was some of the most emotional testimony we've heard in a year and a half. Both his parents were functioning alcoholics. At one point, his mother, who's essentially illiterate, overdosed on alcohol and prescription drugs. Manning was 12 at the time. His sister, I think, was 24. And the two children had to drive her to hospital, Manning sitting in the back of his car, trying to see if his mother had a pulse.
But it was more than that, wasn't it? It wasn't just a matter of he was dealing with all of this, but it was also, from some of the reporting around, that he was being ignored by his superiors. That is, it seems the defense are trying to sheet home some of the blame to the establishment of the military, saying that they let this situation develop because they weren't paying sufficient attention to him.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Part of their strategy is actually to put the military itself on trial and argue that there were an awful lot of red flags there and the United States Army just missed them over and over and over again. So, as well as this photograph and this anguished email that Manning sent to his superiors, he actually attacked a female soldier at one point earlier in his deployment. And his superiors were concerned enough that they removed the bolt from his rifle, essentially making it impossible to fire. But what they didn't do was take away something that you could argue is even more dangerous, which is his security clearance.
It's a really interesting, nuanced, complex picture that you're painting there, Raf. It's been a delight to speak to you. Thanks for staying up for us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Raf Sanchez, Washington correspondent for The Daily Telegraph. Rich didn't know if you heard some things there that change your view of Bradley Manning in any way. Let me know. 0418-226-576. Do you have a different view of the whole case, the trial, now that you've heard that? 0418-226-576 or find us on Twitter at RNDrive.